Mary Kay's last question about whether, kind of a one size fits all versus community-based prevention effort is the way to go is what inspired me to do some exploratory research looking at geographic diffusion of teen drug use in the United States. And I want to thank my colleagues, Kristen Holtz and Eric Twombly. I have no personal disclosures. And today I want to give you a brief overview of the teen drug use situation in the United States, and from that pose my research questions, which led to this exploratory research in geographic diffusion, and then tell you how I went about looking at these trends and present you with the findings and the implications for prevention, both in terms of kind of classroom and community-based prevention as well as public policy. So we all know that teen drug abuse is a pressing public health concern. You knew that before you came to the conference. In this backdrop of decreasing rates of drug abuse, we're excited to see this, but at the same time, we still see that 72% of 12th graders are reporting alcohol use and 46% of them reporting marijuana use, and we see that, that prescription drug abuse is on the rise and that kind of the more hardcore illicit drugs are also still a problem. And we know that teen drug abuse is particularly a problem because of the developmental stage at which these individuals are at. Physically, emotionally, they're still developing, so drug use during adolescence has effects on the body and the brain, which are still developing. The brain's still developing until age 25, so it's affecting neurotransmission. We know it has academic as well as social consequences. Teens who are using drugs are more likely to participate in other risky behaviors and be implicated in the judicial system. And we know that there are many prevention efforts out there. Probably some of you are involved in these prevention efforts, as am I. And we see very promising prevention programs out there, but what we've failed to come across are ones that have been effective over time and across multiple areas. And that got me to thinking there are some very well-publicized projects that have been going on, prevention efforts that have been very successful, even at the state level in reducing adolescent drug abuse, but then when they're moved to a different state, even matched on demographic variables, they don't seem to have as robust of findings. So that led to my research questions. And I wondered, to what extent are there geographic patterns of are there patterns of geographic diffusion in adolescent drug abuse in the U.S.? Do they different do they are there differences in state and region regional use? How do these patterns differ by type of drug? What regional variables may contribute to these differences in abuse patterns? And what do geographic diffusion patterns and regional variables suggest about region-specific prevention efforts and directions for future research? So to do this exploratory research, I decided to take a qualitative look at geographic patterns of four drugs in particular. I looked at alcohol, marijuana, meth, and prescription drugs. And I did this for several different reasons. Alcohol I chose because of the consistently high rates of use among adolescents, and this has been consistent over time. Marijuana, while it doesn't have the consistency over time, in the past 20 years we've seen kind of increase and decrease as of about 2002, 2005. So I wanted to look at the time patterns of marijuana use. And methamphetamines, while it's not as prevalent in adolescents, has a very unique geographic pattern to it, and so I wanted to take a look at that and see if I could superimpose any of that data. And then prescription drugs are an emerging problem among adolescents, so I wanted to see if there are any trends that can be noted thus far on the regional use, and then to see if I could apply any of the historic and regional use data from alcohol, marijuana, and meth to prescription drugs. And to do that, I looked at the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, which reports data from 2002 to 2005 from SAMHSA. They do an annual report of illicit and licit drug abuse from adolescents ages. I looked at adolescents ages 12 to 17. That's how they reported it. And they report by drug, state, age, and then across years. I looked at marijuana, alcohol, and prescription drugs from this survey. Monitoring the Future is a survey conducted by NIDA. and the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and they look at attitudes, values, and usage patterns in licit and illicit drugs in secondary students and college students. And I looked at alcohol, marijuana, and meth in this group from 91 to 97. The last one, Drug and Alcohol Systems Information Survey. This looks at treatment episodic data, so the number of people who have sought treatment for substance abuse. And this reported data from 95 to 2005 from adolescents ages 12 to 20. And I looked at meth and marijuana trends in this. And limitations, obviously, like I said, this is exploratory data. I did not conduct any statistical analyses to look at differences yet. I just wanted to get a sense of, are there any trends out there that would suggest the need to look further into geographic and regional patterns? The surveys, as you can tell as I was going through, look at different drugs, they look at different years, they define adolescence differently. It's tricky to kind of get all the information from one source, but I kind of pieced it together. And what I found, like I said, alcohol use among adolescents has been fairly high for a very long period of time. But there are differences in regional use when you look across the United States. Typically, you have higher concentrations of alcohol use in adolescents in the Northeast and Midwest. You can see I gave examples of states where they're particularly high. And they tend to be lower in the South and in the West, particularly lower in Utah and Hawaii. And then within this, there are regional outliers. There was a regional outlier of Montana, which was higher than both the Midwest and national alcohol use. Some of these state findings were very interesting. With marijuana, we know that there was a rise and fall kind of beginning in the 90s out in the West, the Midwest and the West, and then sort of expanding westward from the Pacific Northwest to the Midwest and then to the Northeast. And in 2005, it appeared to sort of plateau out where it originally began in the Pacific Northwest and the Midwest. And then by this point, the heavier expansion has gone into the South and the Northeast, so kind of a eastward movement. With heaviest concentrations now in the Northeast, particularly you'll notice in the New England area, and then out west, Arkansas, Arizona, New Mexico, and Oregon. Our regional outliers here, again in the high direction, tend to be Colorado and Montana. So these are states with, again, above, higher than regional and national marijuana use today. Methamphetamines, we know, started in the West, kind of was concentrated in the biker population, and then began to move into the West in the mid-90s. And we see that the South, at this point in the 90s, the South and the Northeast are virtually unaffected by meth. Then we see this spreading into the South by 2001 with higher rates of abuse in the Midwest and the West, obviously having begun in the 90s. But again, as of 2001, the Northeast is still virtually unaffected. And we see in 2005 rates peaking in the West and Midwest. And then they have peaked, and they're beginning to plateau. And then we're finally seeing a spread into the Northeast. Our regional outliers here on the low side tended to be in the Northeast. So where we saw high rates of marijuana and alcohol use in the Northeast before, we're seeing very low rates of meth in Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and Delaware, both lower than the national and the regional averages. With prescription drugs, they speculate that there's been misuse of prescription drugs for quite some time now, but that we're just starting to see a rise in it because of the rise in the number of prescriptions made available. I'll speak a little bit more about prescription drug use in adolescents in my next presentation. But that began in the West and in some selected states in the South, and then began to expand in 2005 into the South and the Northeast, where it had already peaked in the West and the Midwest. 2005, it was beginning to spread into the Northeast. Here we see high regional outliers of Oregon and Montana, but then we don't see any regional patterns of low use. They just seem to be kind of scattered, so lower than regional and national averages in Washington State, Washington, D.C., Hawaii, Maryland, North Dakota, and South Dakota. So what can we tell from this? There tends to be, on average, an eastward expansion of drugs from the west to the east. We did see some variability in this, but that tends to be the general trend. We tend to see a higher clustering of abuse in the west and the northeast for most drugs, except for methamphetamine, which you'll remember didn't really take hold in the northeast. And we have these susceptible states, which seem to have above higher averages of use in adolescents regionally compared to regional and national data in Montana, Oregon, and Maine. So why do we think we're seeing some of these regional differences? We can look at intervening variables, ones that would vary by state. We can look at availability and supply of drugs. So where do these drugs come from? Are they made domestically? Are they brought in internationally? And if they're brought in internationally, are they brought in from Asia? Are they brought in from Mexico? Where in Mexico? And that might affect where they begin in kind of their incubation stage in which area of the country and how they begin to move. And then with meth, and the domestic production of meth back in the 90s and early 2000s, lent itself very well to wide open spaces where there could be these super meth labs, which might explain the West and the Midwest concentrations, and less so in the Northeast. Demand, we see, so looking at prescription drugs, we might see a demand for prescription drugs because of the increase in just the sheer availability of prescription drugs, and direct-to-consumer advertising lending itself to increasing demand for prescription drugs. State drug policies. We know there's a federal drug policy which dictates enforcement and general listing and identification of controlled substances, but then it's typically up to state drug policies on how they want to enforce, the type of punishment, and so that might affect the usage patterns regionally and by state. Prevention efforts. Some states, such as Montana, introduced the Montana Meth Project. So our statewide prevention efforts affecting use of that of a particular drug, drugs in general. Some states tend to have more funding and resources for prevention and tend to implement these efforts differently. We look at norms, cultures, and values. Obviously, those are going to vary quite a bit by region and by state. If we take a look at Utah, where 60% of the population are members of the Church of Latter-day Saints, they have very, very low use of illicit drugs, alcohol, cocaine, marijuana. But when we look at prescription drug use, adolescents are actually using that at a higher rate than regional and national averages. So there might be something there in the different values for illicit versus illicit drugs. And measurement methodology, like I said before, it's very difficult to compare national surveys, and different states report differently on the drugs at different times, so that might be contributing to the differences we see in regional and state use as well. And then we have the variables which are going to should be affecting everybody the same, the federal drug control policies and the mass media messages. The mass media messages I'm going to go into a little bit more specifically related to prescription drugs in my next presentation. So where does this leave us? Examining the effect of contributing variables on geographic diffusion will help us to hopefully identify which contributing variables are affecting these usage rates by state and by region. And we'll hopefully be able to apply these diffusion patterns and understand new drugs of abuse, such as prescription drugs. So taking these historic and geographic trends and kind of putting a stop, intervening earlier than we have with other drugs is what we're hoping. And we can hope to inform prevention policy and individual level prevention by making recommendations for state and regional drug prevention efforts.